Welcome to Absolute Truth. Absolutely.
Oh, this is my very favorite show. I never miss this one.
Well, we swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
You're absolutely correct.
Now, here are your hosts, Gio and Sarai. Well, children, do you know that your teachers just sometimes don't have the best of intentions for your life? Well, if this is news for you, wake up and smell the coffee. This is Absolute Truth, Absolutely, and I am your host, Gio. And we have a very special guest with us on the line today. He is a 45-year broadcast veteran. He is also a cultural expert and avid researcher. He is the host of the nationally syndicated radio talk show Steel on Steel, which deals with issues ranging from Washington all the way to religion. His motto is, your failure to be informed doesn't make me a wacko, and that is definitely true. We'd like to welcome to the program John Leffler. John, how are you today?
Doing well, but you must admit, I think we have wackismo honed to an art. That's what I call it,
wackismo. Yeah, definitely. That is absolutely true, my friend. How's everything been?
I was doing well. I really miss you guys, too. I haven't been in Miami since, 1998 or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Well, that's what you get for living on the other side of the country.
All right, John. Let me ask you this question. In what manner have public schools and universities tried to indoctrinate our youth? What are some of the latest trends that we're seeing out here?
You know, you said something earlier about teachers not having the students' best interests at heart. I think most teachers go into education thinking that they want to do good things for kids.
Okay.
What has happened over the last 40 or 50 years has been the fact that education has made some abrupt shifts, because starting after World War II, we had a country that was fairly based in some kind of a Judeo-Christian ethic and outlook and history. And then starting in the 60s, well, first of all, we threw God out of the schools.
Okay.
And then we threw religion out. We threw the Ten Commandments out. We threw the moral system out. And we began substituting all sorts of ideas that came in from psychology, many of which were being tested on school kids almost like as if they were guinea pigs or something like that. And they substituted a whole new moral system based in what ultimately came to be called secular humanism. And so the next generation of teachers that came up, they went through the teacher colleges, and the teacher colleges more and more and more began to teach and train teachers in the new methods of thinking, the dialectical method. Much of this had come over from Marxism through institutes like the Frankfurt School is what is called the Institute for Marxist Research, which changed its name when it got here to the U.S. to the Institute for Social Research, and then they basically at some point got control of most of the teacher colleges. And they didn't do it. This wasn't a big, deep, dark conspiracy. This was just people winning converts, just like any belief system does. And so today, the biggest challenge facing youth in the school has two sections, okay? Number one, you're getting a very lopsided vision of anything that you talk about, whether it's history or science or economics. It's a very one-sided affair, and that's one thing students need to understand. There are other sides to the things that are being pronounced as facts. Many things are pronounced as being a fact that really, in fact, are not facts. They can be easily disproven. The second part, and this is the part that's much more important for young people especially to understand, is that you are being taught what is called a dialectical method of thinking. Now, that's a fancy name for how you approach the world, what you think to be true, what you think to be false, how you analyze what's going on around you.
Your worldview, so to speak, right?
It's a worldview, okay. Right. Well, it's actually a process of thinking.
Okay.
A worldview is more what you assume to be true about the world, but they're very tied together, Gio. There's no, you know, you can't separate the two.
Okay.
But we grew up, and Christians that teach a didactic type process, which is what traditionally has been taught in Christianity, we tend to think logically. We organize our ideas in systems. We can analyze truth from falsehood. We understand that some things are true, some things are false, or partially true, partially false. The dialectical system says there are no absolute truths, that everything is sort of on a giant floating relative where truths are constantly evolving and changing, which, by the way, is not true.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's important to understand. It also talks about compartmentalized truths. So say, for example, in an area of religion, I could believe one thing, but in an area of science, I could believe something that actually even contradicted it.
Oh, wow.
And there's no problem. That's what this whole dialectical thinking does. And so the first thing I wind up doing whenever I'm asked to speak to people who are in high school or college is I have to point out to them, you have to get the mush out of your brain. Because what you were taught to think was in the public school system in this very dialectical method of thought. And dialectical thinking is nothing but mental morphine. It keeps you from figuring your way through your life, is what it does.
Leave your brain at the door and we'll think for you.
Right. And the purpose of the dialectical thinking is to create, this originated in the bowels of Marxism, for which I have no love because of all the pain and suffering it's caused in the world.
Correct.
But dialectical thinking came out of Marxism. It's exactly the same thing that the Soviets used to use to train their school children. And theoretically, it gets everybody sort of marching in the same direction, all being in lockstep, and thinking the same thought so that there is no conflict. But in reality, what it does is it strips you of your individualism. And wow. So today, believe it or not, youth quite frequently think that they know a lot, and they do, but a lot of times it's all jumbled up in their heads. And in reality, what they're doing is they're whining at parroting what it is their teachers have told them in high school or college than really their own thoughts, which have been well thought out or tested or tried.
Right. And here's the other thing I notice. A lot of these school teachers, when they go ahead and try to indoctrinate our youth, the first thing that happens is they kind of use scare tactics, because the first thing that happens is when an individual begins to think and says, wait a minute, and rationalize, this can't be true because I've read somewhere something other, you know, at that point, I guess the kid doesn't have the history book in front. They'll use scare tactics to say, hey, wait a minute. You know, I'm the teacher here. I'm teaching here. Just go ahead and listen to what I'm telling you and go ahead and rationalize it amongst everything else, and you'll see that what I'm telling you is completely true. If not, then you're just going to get into some serious issues.
Right, like losing a grade in colleges.
Exactly.
In colleges, right. And you're right. And by the way, if you had taken traditional logic, which we used to teach, you would have known that that's what's called the argument by authority. And the argument by authority says that because someone who has big letters after his or her name or a teacher's credential says something, therefore it has to be true. Well, now there's a higher probability that, say, if someone went to medical school, that when they say something, they're right. But I found a lot of doctors who've been wrong, you know?
Right.
And so the argument by authority is just because someone in authority says it does not make it true. Correct. And so you need to question almost everything that you hear, or at least process it through a filter of comparing it to things you already know to be true. And that's that logical process I was talking about, that today's school children are taught to actually ignore, that it's a bad thing. And like you say, when a teacher is challenged, in many cases they don't like that challenging,
right,
because maybe they don't even have the answer, to be honest with you.
That's true. You're absolutely right. And one of the things that I've also noticed, John, is that this sort of thinking, and maybe not in its complete manifestation, but this sort of thinking has even crept into the church, where now preachers are telling people, you know, thou shalt not touch God's anointed. They're completely taking, you know, a verse out of the Old Testament out of context to kind of use, again, this word that I'm using, scare tactics, so that people won't question their motives and whatnot.
Exactly. In other words, that's supposed to silence any debate or anything else like that. And so my answer to that, so you have to think this one through, like you're talking about, Gio. And my answer to that, I've had people throw that at me before. Well, you shouldn't touch God's anointing. I said, excuse me, does he have a certificate of anointing? Could you show that to me? Okay, well then how do I know that he's God's anointing? See, you start to challenge immediately what they're saying. Now, of course, they usually get very mad at you when you do. Because it's like, for people who think in this, what I call the slop think mode, all right, it's like going into a duel and you have a gun with 15 rounds in your clip and he's got 2 rounds in his clip. And so somebody fires off the first round, bang, then you come back, bang, then he fires off another round, bang, you fire another one, bang. Now his clip is empty, click, 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 click. And the only thing he can do now is throw the gun at you.
Yeah.
All right. And that's what these people are, because if you push them, they will suddenly discover that they're naked in this argument. They're defenseless. But you also know, you know, like the Bible says, if you're wise, you're wise for yourself.
Correct.
So you know, hey, this guy's full of hooey. Yeah. He doesn't know what he or she is talking about here.
Absolutely correct. Paul does tell us to examine everything, to retain what is good, and to basically throw out what is bad. So you got to definitely keep that in mind.
Yeah, but we're taught to be afraid to do that in today's school system.
Now, some individuals are very astute. and they know how to disguise dogmatic teaching. What would you advise young people to be very wary of during a lecture in order to catch error at its peak?
Whenever somebody says something, I'll give you an example in just a second here. When somebody says something, you have to learn how to ask yourself the question, well, what does that mean?
Right.
And then the second thing is, as well, how can we compare that to being true or not? Where can I dig up facts that show that this is true or false? Let me give you an example. The most frustrating thing I find from a lot of young people who say would like to support Barack Obama is I'll say, well, okay, let me tell me, why are you wanting Barack Obama? Well, because we need change. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know, but we need change. Well, I said, yeah, but the Nazis in Germany wanted, the Germans in Germany wanted change, and they sure got it, you know. And what does that mean? Oh, we don't know. We just need change. And that's all I keep hearing. And so, like, when Senator Obama were to say to you, we just want to spread the wealth around.
Mm.
Well, whenever a politician speaks, and you can do the same thing with your teachers, you ask a series of questions. Number one, what does that mean? Number two, how will it be implemented or enforced? Number three, is it mandatory or voluntary? And number four, who's going to pay for it?
Mm, yeah.
All right. And so when he says spread the wealth around, what is he making an appeal to? He is making an appeal to the things that he learned from his mentors that follow in Saul Alinsky's organization. Alinsky was a Marxist.
Mm.
And that is wealth transfer.
Right.
This is a Marxist concept. We are going to give to people who don't have money. We're going to take it from somebody who does and transfer it to somebody else.
Hmm.
Now, biblically, then you go the next step. Can you justify that biblically? No, because God prevents covetousness. Does
right.
he say we should be good and give to people? Yes.
Hmm.
But we need to do that. But as soon as somebody says, in the name of the common good, we're taking your money and giving it to somebody else, that's a Marxist concept. That's not a biblical one.
Absolutely correct.
So that's what you have to ask. What's going on here every time somebody says something? And you can do that with your teachers, too.
Definitely. Please tune in to the next segment. We'll be talking more to John Loeffler, he is the 45-year broadcast veteran and cultural expert, and like I said at the beginning of the program, an avid researcher. He is the host of the nationally syndicated radio talk show Steel on Steel, which you can visit their website at www.steelonsteel.com and join the members club there and definitely take a listen to the radio programming. I highly recommend it. If you want to stay in tune with what's happening behind the scenes, it's an excellent and invaluable tool for any Christian and any person who wants to be a better informed citizen. We'll be right back on Absolute Truth. Absolutely.
Absolute truth is being redefined and omitted by evildoers. Want justice? Join the fight. Visit us every Friday night at 8 p.m., 3175 Southwest 25th Street, Miami, Florida, or visit us at lwym.org.
Initiate countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Execute.
I've been sleeping in for days, 'cause when I am awake, I will have to face my life. And I'm hoping it's a phase. The walls that I create can only make it seem alright. And I get carried away like I'm the only one who's ever felt the way that I do. But I can hear you say you're not the only one, 'cause everybody hopes to get through. And it's got I'm sleeping in. Yeah, it's got me sleeping in.
Welcome back to the second segment of Absolute Truth Absolutely. This is your host, Gio, and I am on the line with John Loeffler. He is an expert in the field of research and culture here in the United States and abroad, and he is also the radio show host of the nationally syndicated talk show, Steel on Steel. You can visit their website by visiting www.steelonsteel.com. John, we were talking in the previous segment about a lot of this indoctrination that's going on in the public school system and in the universities, even in the private universities and whatnot. My question to you is this. We've seen a growing number of students disassociate from the faith during their high school years and collegiate years. What do you attribute this to?
Two things. The first one is that when what students don't realize when they're in the public school system is that you're getting a very lopsided diet of information and ideas, largely based in secular humanist or atheist ideas, sometimes pantheist, but they're getting a one-sided diet. And the second is very closely related to that. The church has not been doing any type of education of their people, say their high school people or their college people, pre-college, to let them know what they're going to be running into as soon as they hit the college. What these typically, I mean, you look at the over 90% of the professors in college today represent a left, if not hard left, position. It varies.
Right.
And as a result of that, this is what you're going to encounter. Well, as a student, you're only getting one side of the argument. You know, when you go to court, if you've ever been to court in any kind of a trial situation as a witness or whatever, you know that when you hear one side of the issue, you'd swear that side was correct until you suddenly hear the other side. And then
Correct.
You can figure out what's right or wrong. And that's really been the fault of the church. It's been the fault of the pastors who have been not only slow but almost lethargic about dealing with this issue and even resist trying to deal with it.
Mm. Do you believe there are many pastors out there that maybe they're in a way afraid to deal with the youth because they might feel maybe like they're out of touch with the culture or whatnot, and this is the reason why they don't touch this aspect?
Well, it might be that way. I've always believed, this is a Loeffler belief, I can't necessarily back this up scripturally. Well, yes, I could actually. But I've always believed that the biggest problem we have in our churches is that we separate out the people by groups, that we do that as a culture.
Right.
And because the way God originally intended it is the fact that the elders lead the people who are behind them, or at least have input because they have longer life experience, you know.
Mm.
And the youth have a lot of energy. This is why the military is frequently divided up this way, okay? The youth have energy that, you know, your body clock just works against you over time as you get older, that, and sometimes they do need some new ideas coming into the mix, restrained by knowledge of the past of what didn't work. See what I'm saying?
Right.
And the churches are this way. And what I like to do is I like to associate with people on all different levels. I enjoy talking to people in their 20s, which I was a long time ago, and joking, and I believe you can do that.
Mm.
But a lot of times, young people are very uncomfortable talking to older people.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And I'm never sure why, because, I mean, of course, I usually can bust through that because I talk to people all the time. That's just what I do.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I like to make conversation, etc. But I've noticed that. I've even noticed it's much more true of people who have gone through public schools than it is for people who have gone through private school or homeschool.
Right.
Homeschoolers of all the groups are the most interactive with adults, and they're the most comfortable talking about adult topics, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
You know, the world of high school is a very artificial world. Nowhere in the world or in your lifetime will you ever, not even in the military, be associated strictly with people in your age bracket.
Mm.
It's a very unreal, artificial world. It's not, you know, they talk about homeschoolers not having socialization. Well, high school socialization is probably some of the worst in the world because it's full of peer pressure and concerns over all sorts of things that are really of no import in life skills or things related to that.
Yeah, it's a very tough situation. I remember when I've always told our congregants here in church, our youth here in church, that one of the things that they have to be very, very careful of is peer pressure. One of the things that always happens, especially in the public schools, is that there's always going to be groups. You know, you've got, dare I say, ethnic groups, and you've got groups that like this type of music, and then you've got this group that they enjoy this and that and the other thing. And it basically splits up into different areas, and then you want to fit in, and it's all a big issue. And I've always told them, look, you have to be an individual. You have to make sure that your ideals as a believer come through, and that if somebody is going to, dare I use the word, hang around with you, they have to respect you for what you are, and that as a believer and a Christian, if a person cannot be in agreement with that, if they cannot agree with your belief system, then you know what? There's no reason to even hang out with these people, because then at the other side, they always say, well, you know what happens then? I'll preach to them, and I'll evangelize to them, and they'll come to Christ. Most of the time, it doesn't even work that way, because if you allow them to be with you long enough, they'll begin to inculcate a lot of their evil ways, so to speak. And you have to be very careful with that. Paul tells us that a little leaven will leaven the whole bread, and I think you have to distance yourself from that in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah, the biggest thing is teaching people to think on their own.
Hmm.
That's the biggest thing that's essential. And the school system today wars against that because it is rotating around peer pressure. I never ran with most of the herds anyway, so for me that's hard to identify. I've always been a maverick going, well, I'm going to go this way. Yeah. Well, everybody's going over here. Well, let them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go over here by myself. You know?
I can identify with you because I was the same way also. I remember that one of the things that always stuck with me was, you know what, I'd rather be alone than to be misaccompanied, so to speak, by certain individuals. I'd rather keep myself out of trouble than to hang around and want to fit in, and yet I'm hanging around with the wrong crowd, so to speak. And I've seen that happen to so many young individuals. I've always told them, make sure that you, and even if you can't have any friends at school and you need to limit yourself to people here within our youth group, then go ahead and do that. You need to be with people that are like-minded, and not only does this help you out in your spiritual growth, it'll enforce everything that your parents have taught you, that you've learned in church, whatever you learn here. It'll definitely enforce that and allow you to be a better believer and stand up for what you believe in a much better fashion, so to speak.
And to a large degree, people that are in groups because of peer pressure don't understand everybody's there because of the peer pressure or the fit-in, but do your peers really care about you?
Mm.
And a lot of times the answer is no. Everybody's just there to handle the peer pressure. Would they be there for you in some kind of an emergency or, you know, whatever it happened to be? And the answer is no. You know, the Bible says if you're wise, you're wise for yourself.
Mm.
You can't make somebody else wise.
Correct.
Now, somebody who's looking for wisdom, two people can collaborate together and say, what do you think? Well, I don't know. I think this, blah, blah, blah. That's looking for wisdom together. But ultimately, wisdom is something that you do for yourself.
Hmm.
And
yes,
that's one thing that's always struck me from the scriptures, that
yes,
if you're wise, you're just wise for yourself.
Yes, sir. Now, on the topic of you know, thinking for ourselves and doing research and whatnot, we can't deny how much of an invaluable tool the internet is. I know there's plenty of good information out there, and I remember when I was in college, I used to use the internet all the time to do research, and I think there's plenty of good information out there. Now, there's also, that being said, there's also a lot of garbage out there. For the student, for the Bible, for the Bible student out there that wants to study more, how do you distinguish, for example, a person that might want to look for historical facts, how do you distinguish historical accuracy on internet websites from the ideas that are redefined, so to speak?
There are a lot of political think tanks out there, and you have to know when you go to a site exactly what you're looking at on the site. And so there are a number of things. Number one, is the site more neutral in providing information or something along those lines versus one which is going to put out political information. And the Politico sites regurgitate their particular position, and that's about all they do. Okay, and you have to know that. And they may even be telling you some truth, but it's probably a lopsided truth. Wikipedia is good, say, for example, for a first check on something, but it will probably, you may want to cross-check. So, like in broadcasting, say we get a news story or an exclusive where there's a tip-off that something is going on. Okay, well, it becomes an active story, but you never run with it until such time as you can confirm the fact from more sources that this is really true. I mean, even the media, the news media out there, are nothing but an open gossip chain with a certain level of confidence going on. Okay? All trying to figure it out. So you have to sort of, where are the sources, compare multiple sources from different points of view, and there are just different ways. A lot of it involves prayer, just sometimes it's prayer and asking for guidance, too.
Yeah. Correct.
But there's a lot of good info, but there's also dangers out there. You know, there are predators roaming the net and other people trying to get identity from you. And so you have to understand what you're doing and know how to spot this and be careful.
All right. Lastly, what do you recommend young people do in order to become more informed citizens and defenders of God's truth?
Well, those sound like two different issues. One, you have to believe that you want to be part of it. And believe me, politics per se is filthy. It always is. But the second thing is you know, one thing that people today don't like to do, and that is read. And some of the better things you can do is go back and read earlier books, even books from previous centuries written by people to understand, because a lot of our history has been rewritten in the colleges. If you take history books from just 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there's a radical difference. History has actually been changed to match new outcomes and standards and ideas. So there's no substitute for reading and for gathering information, but you have to want to do it. And today, most of the youth, and I do too, because I work in a very high-tech business. You know, we all have our emails and PDAs and everything else like that. But sometimes you have to put all that stuff down and stop waiting for the next zing to hit you to keep you entertained and do something worthwhile. And therein is the difference between somebody who is a victim of his or her environment and someone who actually shapes his environment to do what the Lord wants him to do.
Amen. We've been talking to John Loeffler. He is an avid researcher and expert in the, anything cultural, you might say, and he is a broadcast veteran of more than 45 years, and he is the host of the nationally syndicated radio talk show Steel on Steel. You can visit that website and listen to the latest podcast and whatnot. That website address is www.steelonsteel.com. I want to thank John for coming on the program. John, hopefully you can visit back with us again and talk about some other topics. I know you're very knowledgeable in these things, and we thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to talk to us.
It was good, Gio. Good to talk with you again.
Once again, this is Absolute Truth Absolutely. This is Gio, and until next time, may the Lord shine his face upon you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed on today's show by today's guest are not necessarily those of Absolute Truth Absolutely, LWIM, Rema Church Incorporated, of its staff, affiliates, or members.